happiness. And so it seems to be a paradox between how can you be unhappy and be joyful. See, that's what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about how does your praise sound when you are unhappy. Now, see, I was talking about that a minute ago, and some of you, I heard, knows, I'm happy no matter what. That's just not true. I said it's not true. See, just because you said it, Pastor? Yeah, just because I said it. Amen. You know why? Because here's what I understand. I understand human nature. Amen. I've spent my whole life studying. I can tell you right now, folks, that sometimes there are doctrines and theologies that are teaching us wrong mindsets. Amen? They're teaching us wrong mindsets because what it's trying to tell us that we got to be happy all the time. You ain't going to be happy all the time. You can't tell me when you get out of bed and that 50-year-old knee that you got popping when it gets out, that you, oh, I just thank you for that popping knee and it's so stiff and I can't walk. Oh. No, you're not. You're unhappy with the knee. You're unhappy with your circumstance. But see, many of us are trying to associate, by association, that unhappiness means depression. Oh, somebody help me today. Amen. Look, you're not on the stand. You haven't given an oath, and you don't have to worry about being convicted of perjury today. All right? How many knows what I'm talking about? See, we want to associate. See, I want to give you permission that you can be unhappy. I want to give you permission and freedom that you're going to be unhappy. How many of this week was unhappy with something in your life? Unhappy with your job, unhappy when you pulled up to that window of that fast food and you pulled away instead of giving you two burritos and a crunch wrap. They gave you one burrito and they gave you some, you know, an enchilada. I don't know. But you walked away, and how many was like, well, that's okay. I'm still happy about what they did. No, you're unhappy. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? How many was unhappy with the way that your hair turned out this morning? Don't raise your hand. Some of us, I don't think that's even a righteous cause. So I think you should be glad you got hair. How many was unhappy when you stepped on the scales this week? How many of you were unhappy when you did something you shouldn't have done? You were unhappy about it. But see, we are made to believe that if I'm unhappy, well, that means I'm depressed. No. You can get depressed through your unhappiness, but unhappiness is a state of your happening at the time. Something happened to you, and you're unhappy. Amen? Somebody didn't respond to you the way that you thought they should, and it made you unhappy. See, Pastor, where are you going with this today? It's this. You can be unhappy, but you can decide in your unhappiness to be joyful. Unhappiness is not something. See, Shane, you can't determine. Listen, sir, you are going to get up tomorrow, and there are going to be 1,000 circumstances against you. You can pray, intercede, fast, be joyous today and say, man, Pastor's message just gripped me and I am so excited about being a Christian. Step out of your house or even in your house and something can make you unhappy. Now, how long you determine to stay there, that's your choice. See, joy is a choice, so is misery. Amen. I said misery's a choice. But see, misery is the result because something made you unhappy and you're choosing to stay in your unhappiness. So we don't have a choice about the circumstances that happen in our life. Circumstances happen. Circumstances are not something that we can dictate. See, no matter, you can have the most positive confession in the world. So somebody better help me. You better preach with me now. I won't think you like me. Amen. You hurt my feelings. See, you can have the most positive confession in the world. Read your Bible every day and pray, but you do not have the power over other people. Mm-mm. Oh, you're going to like this message a little bit. Turn to somebody and say, it's going to get worse before it gets better. But when it gets better, it's going to be good. No, I say it's going to be good. See, we don't have the power over somebody else's mind, somebody else's decisions. So when we step out into the world, we step out and either we are prepared or unprepared. Either we are vulnerable for the attack. See, many of us have spent our life blaming our mama and our daddy, the way we were raised. My mama whipped me too hard. My mama didn't whip me hard enough. My mama locked me in the closet. My mama should have locked me in the closet. I was left alone. I was mistreated. Let me tell you something. There's nobody sitting here, and I'm just using mother and father as an example, because a lot of people still blame their mother and father. I am the result of my mother and father. Well, see, that was a great excuse until you got born again. Hey, amen. I need security up here. I'm going to need security up here in just a little bit. See, here's the problem. When we get born again, we get born again, and our spirit man has been born again. And I've been preaching a lot about this, teaching a lot about this. That the soul man, the mind, the intellect, the will, the emotion didn't get saved at the same time. And so we are constantly in the process of training our mind, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can't transform the way you live and the way you act until you change the way you think. Amen? See, you can't change the way anybody thinks about you. Amen? You can't change and determine the actions of other people towards you. How many can say, Pastor, I tried for years. I tried for years to try to get, you know, I did everything. I did everything to please them, to make them happy. If I do A, B, C, D, and E, and I do it enough, if I love them enough, if I do enough, it's going to change them. How many determine that? How many has come to at least that revelation? No matter what you're doing, how hard you're doing it, how many times you do it, it's not going to change the way somebody thinks about you and thinks about the situation. Amen? So, well, Pastor, then what can we do? I can tell you what you can do. You can determine and you can begin to make the choice to be different. But you're going to have to determine that the power lies in you and not with other people. Amen? See, that I tend, especially for other preachers, I have more conflict with preachers than I do with church folk. Church folk get me. Church people get me. Preachers don't get me. Want to know why? Because I'm too honest. I'm too honest about what the real life is. See, I don't believe that it's heavy revelation that is going to set you free. What is going to set you free is that the mind is changed on a daily basis. And what most folks want, and listen, what most folks are looking for is real answers to real problems in the day that we're living in. And I can tell you right now is this, is that we need to understand that we are faced with some things. And folks, when life has not been fair, when life has not been fair, and the props have been kicked out from underneath of you, and life is devastating, and the things that you worked the hardest for and the most for, and those things have not worked out. See, I believe there's a lot of people in the body of Christ that are struggling because they have said, look, I've prayed, I've tithed, I've attended, I've done it, and it has not worked out the way I thought it was going to work out. See, some of you want to shout amen so bad right now, your teeth is aching. But see, we don't have permission to say amen to those kind of things. We only have permission to say amen to the things that are positive. But folks, I want you to know something. Before we can deal and receive the positive in our life, we need to be realistic about some of the negative things in our life. And we need to be real that things have not worked out the way that we thought they would. The healing didn't come when I wanted it to happen. The money didn't come when I said that I believed that God was going to bring to me. The job didn't happen. The promotion didn't happen. The relationship didn't happen. I've prayed. I've believed. I've done this. I've done that. I've done everything that all the books told me to do. I've listened to all the tapes. Why, Pastor, I listen faithfully every morning to Joyce. And I followed her books exactly. Well, I want you to know something. You can do everything right. I said, you can do everything right. I told you it's going to get worse before it's going to get better. See, I'm here to tell you the truth. Because I want you to be strong believers. And I want you to be realistic, but I want you to know something. That faith begins, first of all, of looking at our life in a realistic term and say, you know what? Maybe I need to really look at my life right now and I need to look at some things and say that I need to prepare for a day that is coming to me. Most of us are preparing like everything is going to work out. And I want you to know something is this, that before the world gets better, the world's going to get worse. Because what is happening is this, the world hasn't extended itself, hasn't extinguished all the answers in their little minds. And they think they still have all the answer to the ills of the world. But there is only one person who has all the answers to the ills of the world, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, the ills of this world will not be resolved by a politician, by whether it's Trump or whether it's Hillary. It, as far as I'm concerned, it wouldn't make any difference which one gets into office except for a few different little iotas, a little different details. But I want you to hear it's only a sign of the age that we're living in right now. It's only a sign of the times that we're living in right now. And I want you to know I have more faith now than I have ever had in my entire life. You say, why, Pastor? Because I believe we're living in a time to where we are going to see the glory of the Lord rise as we have never seen it arise in the church. We're going to see the power of God, a real power, but not power through a man, but the power released in the body of Christ and the body arising in the beauty and the majesty that she should be. And I want you to know something. The body will never be complete because one man falls into that power. One man is that image. The only way the body of Christ is going to be beautiful. Amen. The body of Christ is more than the hand. The hand is the fivefold ministry. I didn't marry Karen because she had nice hands, even though she has nice hands. Are you hearing me? I may be drawn to her hands, but I'm hoping she had a brain. Are you listening to me? I'm being honest with you. She was beautiful, but what good is beauty if she is not industrious and she's lazy? Well, what good is beauty? Beauty fades. Are you hearing me? She can be beautiful, but have no integrity. She can be beautiful, but have no character. Are you listening to me? We marry people and get involved with people, and then we find out, like, oh, God, they're a mess. Oh, God, why didn't you check it out before you married the mess? They're dreamy. They're just, he's so dreamy. I hear that. He's so dreamy. I watch you guys on Facebook. Oh, that's my husband. Really? You think that outward persona? No, honey. What you got to do is you got to live with them for a few days. You got to see if they're willing to take the garbage out. You got to see if they're willing to pick up after themselves. Do they hang up their clothes? How often do they brush their teeth? Is a bath seem to be necessary to their lifestyle? Are you hearing me? And then we determine our whole life by those relationships, and that unhappiness turns to bitterness and turns to depression because we are marrying based upon what we see by the five senses instead of marrying and having relationship based upon the Word of God. If we would ask one simple question about everything in our life, how many want to know what that question is? If you would base all your life on one thing, one question, what does God want me to do? You're getting ready to have sex with somebody who's not your spouse? Just stop for a second and say, hey, God, what do you think about this? You say, oh, Pastor, that's silly. No, it's enough time for you to stop and make an account of yourself and let God speak to your heart. And God says, you have no idea about what you're about ready to get involved in here. Your momentary pleasure is going to be a reaping of years to come of sorrow and unhappiness. Are you hearing me? Begin to ask God those questions. Amen? Amen. I've got to get on with this. In Habakkuk chapter 2, in Kentucky we used to call this Habakki. Then we spit. Chapter 1 of Habakkuk. I'll be honest with you here, what Habakkuk is doing here is he's complaining. He's unhappy. He's not complaining to anybody else, but he's complaining to God, and he's saying to God, look, what is going on right now is not fair, it's not righteous. Why is this going on? Why are we under this? Why is everything being destroyed? Why is everything happening? In fact, if you want to read with me there, in the first chapter, just a little bit here. I don't want to read all 17 verses. But he says, how long, Lord, must I call for help? But you do not listen. Are you hearing me? He said, God, I'm calling out for help, but you're not listening to me. Are you hearing me? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save. Lord, there's violence about us all, but you're not saving us. Are you hearing me? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. This is the prophet of God who is crying out to God. How many has ever cried out to God and said, God, how long is this going to go on? How long is this? Do I have to contend with this? How long will the injustice prevail? How long will the unrighteous prevail? Lord, how long will the violence prevail? Lord, how long will the earth be as it is? How long will we let this happen, O God? And he says, God, you're not listening to me. How many of those, there's nothing more frustrating? Pastor Karen accuses me of it all the time. She says, you're not listening to me. I said, no, I'm trying to focus so that I don't say the wrong thing to you. And then there are times I'm not listening. But how many knows how frustrating it is? But here, the prophet of God, God has given unto Habakkuk, and he's saying, here, I want you to prophesy unto the people here. And Habakkuk says, yeah, but what am I going to prophesy? God, this is unfair. He is frustrated because everything seemingly has been taken from them. And then in chapter 2, I want you to look with me here. A lot of people write this for Vision Sunday and use this as Vision Sunday, and they can use it for Vision Sunday, but I want you to see a couple of different things here that I want to point out to you today. How many still with me? So just to conclude there, in verse 16 of chapter 1, therefore he sacrifices to his net and burns incense to his dragnet, for by his net he lives in luxury and enjoys the choicest food, talking about the unrighteous. Is he to keep on emptying his net, destroying nations without mercy? He's talking about Babylon here. But look what he says in verse 1 of chapter 2. And he says, I will stand at my watch. Everybody say it, I will stand. See, here is an important position. Here is an important position. It is the same thing that Paul said to the church at Ephesus when he said to them, he said this to them. He said, when you've done all that you can do to stand, stand. See, stand is a position. Everybody say that. Standing is a position. Sitting is a place of rest. Laying is a place of rest, but it's beyond rest. It's either coma or death. Are you hearing me? But standing is a position of alertness. Standing is you taking a position of where you are standing. When he's talking about standing here, he's not just talking about standing. He's talking about standing in the position that you have been called to. I want you to hear this today, is that if you're not careful, your unhappiness will take you out of your position that God wants you to be in. The enemy wants you to live in your unhappiness. He wants you to be controlled by the circumstances of your life. He wants you to be controlled. Listen, I have one thing that we have learned in almost 45 years. What we have learned is this, is that I cannot depend on Karen for my joy. She is going to do things that's going to make me unhappy. I am going to do things that's going to make her unhappy. Honey, that's just the way it is. You want to know why? Because she's human. And I'm human. And we are two different people. And guess what? She likes things I don't like. And I know this is strange. And I tell her, I don't understand it myself. But she actually says I do things that she doesn't like. It's the same reaction I get when I tell her that. Why is that? Well, sometimes, and you know it as well as I do things on purpose. It's called passive aggressiveness. You can't tell them, you know, you stink. And right now, I really don't like you. So we become facetious, or we do things to get our point across, or we do things on purpose because we know they don't like it. We even do that to other people. Especially when we know certain people don't like us. Amen? I said amen? Sure. See, it's human nature in this sense. So here is the problem in the issue that we live in. And you can take this in any circumstance. You can take it individually. You can take it relationship as far as your marriage. You can take it on your job. You can take it as far as how you want to use it in the world. But I want you to hear it today is this, is that what do we do when we look about us and everything is not working out? I think it is a very disturbing time, but the paradox at the same time that if you don't know what the Word of God is, if you don't know what the Holy Spirit is saying, then you can be very troubled and you could tend to lose hope in the day that you're living in. But if we know what God is saying for the day that we're living in, there is great hope knowing that this is not the worst time for the church. This is the greatest time for the church. It's not a great time for the devil. And it's not a great time for carnal Christians. But it is a great time for the church. What will I do? What do I do? Here's the first thing we do when we are in a time to where nothing seems to be working out. Here's the first thing. I will stand at my watch. Look at the first verse. Look what it says. I will do what? I will stand. No, not only I will stand, but I will stand at my watch. If anybody here has been in the military, you understand this terminology because a watch is given. A watch is a position. A watch, honey, is not a watch. It tells time, but this is not the same kind of watch that we're talking about. It is a place of position. First of all, you need to know what is your position. First of all, your position in Christ. What is your position in Christ? What is your position in the church? Where has God placed you in the church? Where has God placed you in the body of Christ? If you don't know that, then you can be moved because God places you in a certain place so that you can watch the enemy. See, the wall surrounds the city. If Jeff is on the northern part of the wall, that is his. If I was his commander and I said to him, Private Jeff, I want you to go to the north wall between the house of Evelyn and the house of Ricky Minton, and I want you to stand on that watch, and I want you to watch that position from point A to point B. That is your watch. And then I say to Private Tony, I say to him, Tony, your position has been placed between Robert, are you hearing me, and Crayola. You are going to stand on the south wall between the house of Robert and the house of Crayola. That is where you're going to stand. But Tony cannot come over wondering how Jeff, Private Jeff, is doing. Why? Because his watch is for that place at a certain time to a certain time. And he is not to leave that watch. He is not to leave that position. Why? Because if he leaves that position, there is nobody on that part of the wall to see when the enemy is approaching. It leaves the rest of the city vulnerable. See, that's why when you say, well, I ain't nobody in the body of Christ. I mean, I can see Pastor. I can see his position. Well, I can even see Sam's position. But I'm just a lowly member. I mean, what difference does it make whether I'm here or not. Did he get uncomfortably quiet here, or is that just me? I don't want to project something that's not true. Huh? If Jeff's not on his position, on his watch, see, along the wall, read it. Every family was given a position from point A to point B on the wall. What do you think it was talking about? Everything in the Old Testament was written for our examples. Who do you think the city of God is? You think the city of God? See, some of us keep looking to a physical city and thank God that there's going to be a physical city. But guess what? That city is no city without you. You are the spiritual city of God. You are what makes up, not only you, but all the saints of God before you is what makes up Holy Zion. Your is what makes up Mount Zion. You are what makes up you. You are the mansions. Is there little mansions? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, there is. But you are the mansions of God. You are the house of God. You are the dwelling place of God. The light of God lives in you. Jesus Christ, the light of the world, lives in you. He is the light of that city. The city is made up of houses. And what are you? You are the housing of God. And God has called you because we live. See, I want you to understand something. What is going on outside of the city of God, there's nothing that we can do about it because that is the result of sin. The world is engulfed in sin. The world is controlled. Are you listening to me? Is controlled by sin. Sin has been entered into the world. But in the city of God, in the church of Jesus Christ, that's why we have got to be adamant about not allowing anything to come in to our lives, into the city of God, into the house of God, into our lives that is not like Him. That's why nothing but faith can live on the inside of me. Here's the deal. If God has called you, and 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 you, and you, and you, and all of you, and me. To a place on the wall. Maybe what is happening here, and we're wondering why are things getting into our lives? Why is our brother and sister? See, you're looking at yourself as an individual, as one person, as isolated. And you say to yourself, well, I don't have nothing to do. Roxanne says, well, she says this. She says, well, I don't have nothing to do with Linda Dancy. Why, Linda lives in her own house. I see her on Sundays and I see her on Wednesdays and I shake her hand. Hello, Linda. Nice to see you. But that's it. I don't have no more responsibility over Linda. I mean, this is her family right here. They're responsible for Linda. I'm not responsible for Linda. But if Roxanna moves off the place in her wall, her watch, if she moves from the position that God has called her to, she leaves it open and vulnerable for the enemy to get in. Are you listening to me? Zach is just now playing football. He played 1 year, didn't have a clue. Football was more so, you know, when they were younger. If you've ever been to like, you know, Pop Warner football or things like that, the kids are all younger. So you got maybe one or two kids that know anything about football, and they're standing there, and somebody throws the football, and kids run all over the place. And then most of the kids on the defensive line are like, Why? Because they don't understand their position. But see, the guys on Sunday that are going to be playing in a little bit, those guys are paid to know their position. They create a line of defense. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter that if Andrew is the fastest, quickest running back in the NFL, that he has lightning feet. He holds on to that ball like it's life. If that defensive line does not block for him, it does not present space for him to run, there's a guy that he may get past the defensive line, but there are some guys that are paid quite a bit of money on the other side in the secondary. And nobody calls them this by name, but they are called headhunters. They want the quarterback, but they'll settle for Andrew. Are you listening to me? He wants the pastor. That's what the enemy wants. The enemy wants me. He wants me. He wants my family. He wants Karen, and he wants my children and my grandchildren. He wants to get to me. But if he can't get to me, that's okay. He'll settle for Anthony. He'll settle for Anthony because what he is interested in is, how can I stop the forward motion of this church? How can I stop it? I'll tell you how I can stop it. I can allow, I can watch and see who is out of position, who is not standing in the place, in the watch that God has called them to. You may think that you do not have a significant role in this church and in the vision and in the future of this church, but I'm here to tell you that you have. If God has called you here and you are a part of Cornerstone Church, God has a design watch for you. And every Sunday that you're gone, every Wednesday that you're not here, you leave a space on the wall for the enemy to get through. Every time you do not pray and seek God for this house and for the leadership of this house, you leave this church open and vulnerable to attack. See, here is the problem. The problem is most churches put all the responsibility on the pastor to pray, to fast, to read the Bible. And as long as he's there, well, I can tell you something. As good as Mr. Brady is, deflated balls are inflated balls. As capable as he is jacked. Without those big boys standing on the line. Are you hearing me? No matter how good, how accurate, how designed he is, he has an advantage, and maybe more so than others. But I want you to know something. You are not any less important than I am. Every person in this body is as important as the pastor here. But he knows if he can get to me, if he can wear me down, if he can bring sickness and disease to my life or to my family, if he can bring injury to us, if he can constantly attack us, if he can cause the pastor of the church that becomes so weary and tired, and he begins to feel that he's being taken advantage of, and that he's tired, and that people are taking him for advantage, then I want you to know something. That's why thousands of pastors are leaving the ministry every year. Because somebody said, it's not that important whether I'm there or whether I'm not there. I'm just a person. I'm just an individual. I don't sing on the platform. I don't usher. I don't teach. It's kind of basically show up, Pastor. Habakkuk. And I want you to hear me today. I think Habakkuk's mentality is like a lot of people today.
People look and they see the circumstance. They are working every day. They're trying to save money. They're trying to get a little bit of money to do something. They're trying to get ahead. They're trying to prepare for retirement. They keep thinking, I just want to get ahead a little bit. I just want a little bit nicer car. I want a little bit nicer house. I just want a little bit nicer clothes. I just want a little bit more advantage. I want something a little bit better than what I have now. But here's what I want you to hear. This more than anything else is that Habakkuk came to a point of decision in his life. And it doesn't even say that God said Habakkuk to him. What it said here is that Habakkuk made a decision. He made the decision. It wasn't God said to him, Habakkuk, if you'll do this, I'll do that. Truly what happened here was this. In the middle of his complaint, in the middle of his griping, he came to a point of decision in his life and he said these words, I will stand at my watch. I will take my position. I've decided and determined. Instead of standing in the midst of the congregation and complaining and griping how life is not working out, I'm going to take my position on the wall. Look at the next thing he does. And station myself on the ramparts. I will look. Come on now. See, you can't see. Hidden behind the walls, running from circumstance. You know what he did? He got himself in a position above the fray and the people and the circumstance. Don't you think that it was beginning to wear on him as he is hearing the complaints of the people and the groaning and the whining? Moses dealt with the same thing over and over again. He heard the whining. He heard the complaining. But I want you to know something. Here, Habakkuk positioned himself on the wall. He got above the fray. He got in a position to where he could see. And sometimes you're going to have to reposition yourself. And folks, I want you to know the best place to see is the house of God. To stay away from the house of God. To stay away from constant impartation of the word and the anointing into your life. It's not going to help you to see better. You need to find your position. You need to be able to. I will look to see what he will say to me. He positions. It's interesting here that he doesn't say, I will hear what he's trying to say. He said, I will look to see what God is going to say to me. How many needs a word of the Lord? How many needs a word of the Lord? How many needs God to speak to your life today? He said, I will look to see what he will say to me. And what answer I am to give to his complaint. Then the Lord replied, look now. See, I want you to see something, the key here. And I'm closing with this. Sometimes we have to position ourselves first before God can answer us. This is in accordance with the kingdom principle. Draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. Amen. Draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. See, if you will draw nigh unto him, put yourself in position. Everybody say, I need to put myself in a different position. I'll say it one more time. Come on. I will put myself. Come on. I will put myself in a different position. Instead, and a position is not just physical. How many knows you can position yourself by your mouth? Amen? Amen? How many knows you can put yourself in a world of hot water just because of your tongue? How many knows you can be in a good position, in a great position? How many has been in a happy place and because somebody said something to you, and you had that one thought in your mind, say, don't say it. Don't do it. But you went ahead anyways. And did it change your position from good to bad? Your mouth can position you and reposition you. Look what he says here. He said, for the revelation. Write down. Look what I'm sorry. He said, then the Lord replied, write down the revelation. See, he positioned himself to hear the word of the Lord. And God promises to him, and he says, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. Here, I want you to see it. There is an appointed time, and it speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. And this is going to be a prevailing thing in this series, and I want you to hear it, is this, is that the hardest thing that we have to do sometimes is to wait for the word of the Lord. Amen? See, I want you to hear this today. We live in a church theology that says that you can have instant results and instant answers. And there are times to where that we can have an instant answer and an instant result. But what I want you to hear today is this, is that there are those times to where that no matter how hard we seek, no matter how hard we pray, it seems that the answer is delayed. The circumstance does not change. Our lives do not change. But I'm here to say to you today is that there are times to where that God says that there are times to where that all we need to learn to do is God is trying to get you to learn to be patient and wait for the answer. Wow. Wait. Really, Pastor? Wait. I'm cool with hurry up. I'm cool with slamming the pedal to the metal. I love the fact of burning rubber. I want to race through the bridges and the trails, and I'm cool with the adventure and the excitement. Sent me into the fray of the battle. But here the commander in chief looks at you and says, wait on me. You first have to reposition yourself. Reminds me of the miracle that Jesus performed in the man that was blind. The first time he touched him, nothing happened. And the Bible says that he took him by the hand and led him out to the city. Because the first time he asked him, what did he see? He said, I see men walking as trees. He did not have a clear vision. Sometimes God has to take us and reposition us into a place of solitude. That was Jesus' healing. That wasn't you or me. That was Jesus. We're talking about the Son of God. We're talking about everybody that Jesus touched. How many hears me? Was healed. And here is a man he touches and he is not completely healed. That had to shock his disciples, don't you think? Whoa, is he losing his mojo here? Jesus slowing down? Has he used up all of his miracles? Well, maybe he isn't really the Messiah. But Jesus knew something they didn't know. Just like Jesus knows something in you that you don't know. And that's the hardest part. Sometimes he has to take us and reposition us in a place. Not the position you want. You can't see where he's taking you. But he's taking you for one purpose. That's to heal so that you can see. Because if you can't see where God has for your future, God wants to reveal the future to you. But look, you're standing and waiting on the revelation to come. You have positioned yourself in faith. You're standing. You've done everything you can to do to stand. And now you stand and you wait on the word of the Lord. Can you see Habakkuk standing on the wall? He's got a tablet and a pen. He's not writing. He's just standing there with a tablet Yeah, a legal pad. Amen. Got his big pen. And he's standing on the wall. And people are like, what's he doing up there? He's waiting. Waiting for what? He's waiting for the revelation of God. Well, that's stupid. Some people would say, well, all the revelation has been given. If he wants to, let him go to the temple and he can find the five books of Moses and he can get all the revelation he wants. But you see, sometimes it's not the old that I need. Sometimes I need a fresh word from God. Sometimes I need God to speak something to me that only He and I know is going to change my life. So I position myself and I ready myself. And he said, listen, I'm not delaying it. It's coming. But what's a key in that scripture? It's coming at an appointed time. Not your appointed time. Amen? How many hears what I'm saying to me? Because when we look at the watch to answered prayer, we say, God, this should have been here yesterday. See, when we pray for something, we pray thinking. Like now? Amen? Come on. Well, Pastor, I know because I've had the teaching, and the teaching says if I ask anything in His name, He will do it. It didn't say He would do it now. Amen? See, here's our problem. Our problem is that we want healing, but we don't ever think and expect ourselves to get sick. Are you hearing me? We never expect to die, but it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. See, I want you to know something. Trial, hardships are going to come to our life. Why? Because God has an appointed time for you, and in the things that you face in this life, God is preparing you as His child. As His child. And here you stand, and your timing, if it's not aligned with God's timing, then you're going to become very impatient and frustrated with what God's trying to do in your life. And I know some of you are saying, God, how long is it going to take? Jeez. This is like forever. When are things going to be changed? I mean, things should be changed in my life forever. Can I tell you something? Maybe the reason why God hasn't changed your circumstance is because you haven't allowed God to change you. The biggest thing I've learned from my own life is this, is that I wanted God to change everybody else when God was trying to change me all along. Here I thought everybody else had the problem. Wow, what a shocker. Here I was looking. I said, man, our marriage would be so great if Karen would get some things right. She's almost a perfect person. And if she could do those few little things better and wouldn't frustrate me, we'd have a better marriage. And God said to me one time, well, maybe the reason why it bothers you, because it's your weakness, not hers. See, weakness in me sees the weakness in others. The revelation in me sees the potential in others. See, my weakness only sees the impossibility. But the God in me only sees the greatness and the potential in the others and in the body of Christ. What do you see this morning? Have you positioned yourself to hear God? Are you standing in the place that God has called you? Do you think your position is insignificant? It's not. It's not. Every person in here that calls Cornerstone its church, you hold a significant place in this body. Amen. Amen. This is only the introduction. I told you, it's going to be... Because passion's like daddy's. Amen. Because daddies sometimes, Russell, are appointed to bring the bad news so that you can learn the good news. Amen. Amen. It's a proven fact. My kids, my grandkids have all been the same. They want to do all the fun things. My kids, I tell you, my grandkids love the pool out in my backyard. They love it. They love the pool. They love going swimming out there, Mary. They love jumping in there. They love that pool. They love it. That crystal clear water, man, when they go, they can go out there and play for hours. They love that pool. But you know what? They don't like cleaning the area of that pool. I know that's crazy, isn't it? And like I say, well, you got to cover up the chairs. You got to put her. Like, wait a minute. So this is happiness. So determine on the fact of what you like to do. It's there. But you know what? And I look at all of them and I say the same thing. See, I do what you can't do. You know what?